Please rise for our gathering hymn, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Congregation may be seated. Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of the announcements that are in the bulletin. There is some information in there that you may be interested in. One thing I do need to point out is our annual congregational meeting will be in 2 weeks. That's on January 31st, and it will be immediately following our Sunday morning worship service, so about 10 o'clock. On that day, then, too, there will be no Sunday school so that all the teachers and leaders of Sunday school can be up here for the meeting. We do need a quorum of 50 people. So if you are able to stay after worship, we ask that you please do so, or if you feel safe, comfortable doing that as well, too. But we do need a quorum of 50 people to be able to conduct business. There's a couple of things on the agenda. One is it's our stained glass project of how that's going. We'll get a report on that. And also, too, there may be another add-on project with that. And then the other thing is ratification of changes to the NALC Constitution. If you would like to read through all those materials are available to you. They are in the entranceway to the educational building. Really, it's only two issues. One is to go from an annual convocation to a biennial convocation, which means every other year, and then also of how delegates are selected, how many delegates are proportioned to each congregation. That's also a change in there, too. If you'd like to read through that, pick up the materials. Otherwise, we will be doing the business on at our annual meeting. And that's really all I have. Does anybody else have announcements? Any other announcements this morning? If not, then we continue with the greeting and the dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Lord God, you showed your glory in as he brought gladness and healing to his people. Grant us these same gifts and lead us also to perfect faith in him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
first lesson is a reading from the third chapter of 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet come out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for today is Psalm 139. I will read the light print, and I would ask the congregation to respond with the bold. Lord, you have searched me out and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You rest on me behind and before, and lay your hand upon
me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well.
My body was not hidden from you, while I was being made in secret and alone in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. They were fashioned day by day, when as yet there was none of them.
How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them.
If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. The second lesson is a reading from the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. I begin reading at verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute comes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I think Nicholas has a children's sermon for us.
I do have a children's sermon. And Zoe, I need your help. I know this is last minute, but you need to come up here, because we don't have all day. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Kids and Zoe, today was a very important lesson on how intimate God knows you and God knows what you're thinking. Now, here on Earth, you stay right there. Here on Earth, a lot of people say, "Oh, I know what you're thinking." And so they would call Zoe from an audience and say, "Oh, Zoe, I know what number you're going to be thinking. I'm going to give you a deck of cards, and I'm going to do all these magic tricks and shuffles, and I know what you're thinking." Go ahead. Pick any card that you want from the deck, Now, what Zoe doesn't know is that I've already lied to her one time. See, in that deck, it's 35 cards, not 52. I took out all the aces, kings, and queens and put them over here. So she's obviously going to pick a number. Did you pick your card, Zoe? Okay. Let me see the deck. Your card is in your hand? Okay, let me see it. Okay, I'm going to feel it. Now, I don't need to know. I don't need to look at it because you gave it back to me. I'm in control. So I'm going to cut the deck. I'm going to put your card right here on this top right here, right? Now, it seems like I lost it in the shuffle. But if you pay attention to how I shuffle, your card's right here on the top. You know where your card is? Still on the top. Now, do you know where your card is? On the bottom. And I'm going to do a throw shuffle, and it looks like I'm actually shuffling, but I'm not, because your card is still right here, right? And now, someone would, and they would say, ooh, and ah, ooh. And they would say stuff like that, but watch what happens. So your card's here on the bottom, and then they're going to do another throw shuffle, and this is your card, right? And now they're going to place it back on top. And if I was any good, then I could put it in the middle and take it out. But since I'm not that good, I'm going to end my trick here. This is your card, right? I figured out what you were thinking. Did I really? Exactly. I lie to you every step of the way. Magicians fool and trick and lie to you every step of the way. But they sit here and pretend, I know what you're thinking, Zoe. I know what number to pick. But from the moment you came up on stage, I've been lying to you. Again, this is 33 cards, not 52. Thank you, you can have a seat. Now, the reason why that's important, kids, is because there's going to be a lot of people as you grow up, children, and they're going to say, I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. I know how you feel. The only four people ever that are ever going to know how you feel is your mom, dad, your grandfather, your grandmother. And now, there's a fifth person who knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows your soul. Because in our Psalms, it was said that God created you and he knows you in an intimate way. He knows what your soul is made out of. He's been knowing you since before you were ever born. And here in the gospel, that psalm comes to life. When Philip brings his friend Nathanael and says, come here, Nathanael. We found the man. We found the one Moses was talking about. We found the Savior. We found Christ. So come here. And so Nathan and Philip are walking towards Jesus. And just before Nathanael gets to Jesus, Jesus says, ah, here. Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? How do you know me? How do you know there's no deceit in me? Who are you, stranger, to tell me what I am made out of? And Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip ever got to you. Which means Jesus and God were working together, and God and Jesus are one, and Jesus saw Nathanael underneath that fig tree, probably praying. Which means, kids, no matter if you say your prayer out loud, in your mind, or in your heart, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will always hear your prayer. And they're always going to hear your prayer is because they made you. They made you. They know you. They don't have to lie to you. They don't have to force you to think of a number. They don't have to do stupid card tricks like I just did. They know you. This is the Savior who loved you so much that he sent his own son to die for your sins so that you will have eternal life and not perish. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hello, let me introduce myself. I am Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. And have I got a story to tell you today? When I was a young man, minding my own business, my good friend Philip came running up to me. And he was all excited. And he was babbling away, and it was almost comical the way that he was moving his arms and just in motion all the time, jumping up and down. Just he had something he had to tell me, and he was talking so fast I could barely catch a word of what he was saying. But I did hear something about Moses and the law, the prophets, John the Baptist, and finally he slowed down, catched breath, and started to speak where I could understand him. And he said, he's here. He's come. He's here now. And I said, who's here? He said, the Messiah is here. He's come. You know, the one that Moses wrote about, and the ones that the prophets had prophesied about, and the ones that John the Baptist had said was coming soon. He's here. I spoke to him, and he even called me to be one of the disciples.
So Philip came to see me, and he said, the Messiah is here. And with Philip's so much animation and so much of his excitement, I was starting to get a little excited too, because I too had been waiting for the Messiah to come. And it seemed that there was a buzz in the air. After all these centuries, could it be true? After these centuries and generations of people slowly, patiently waiting for that Messiah, is it possible that here in my own generation, that Messiah would be coming, and that I would even have a chance to go see him? But then Philip also said something that just made my jaw drop. It took all the air out of my balloon. He said, it's Jesus from Nazareth. And I thought, Nazareth? Has anything ever good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was just down the road from where I grew up. A little town, a little rinky-dink town, just right down the road. We used to play them in sports, and they never could even put a good sports team together. We clobbered them every year. Could it be true that the Messiah came from there? Nothing exciting ever happens in Nazareth. Every once in a while, maybe a caravan would come through, and that would be exciting for a while. But then they'd leave, and it'd just be the same old dull thing once again. Nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. How could the Messiah come out of Nazareth? And Philip told me, come and see. Come and see for yourself. And so to humor Philip, I went ahead and went with him. And as we were coming up to Jesus, I saw that Jesus was there, and he was sitting with a group of people. He was talking with them. And when Jesus heard us coming, he looked up and he pointed straight at me. And he said, now there is a man who has some faith. And that took me back. How would Jesus know that? I've never received such a compliment like that. And so I asked him, Jesus, how'd you know me? And he said, well, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And it's true. I would sit under that fig tree. That fig tree is one of my favorite places, because in the heat, it gives good shade, but also too, it's a quiet place. It's a peaceful place. And a lot of times I'll go under there and I'll pray, or I'll read through the scriptures, study the scriptures, and just think about what those scriptures had to say to me. And he said, I am a man of faith. And it's true. I do believe that if you're going to believe in something, if you're going to commit to something, that you ought to throw your whole heart and soul into it. You know, many people respect the Pharisees and the scribes because of their knowledge and because of the authority they have. And for the most part, they are good people, but they're always so flashy. How was Jesus able to pick me out? I'm just an ordinary person. How was he be able to know me in that way? And it greatly impressed me. But what impressed me even more was that he called me. He picked me out. He spoke to me. He recognized me. He seemed to know who I was. And he called me to be one of his followers. I was so impressed with Jesus, the way that he spoke to me, the way that he looked at me, the way that he treated me, that I followed him. And what an amazing life I led following Jesus. I saw Jesus change water into wine. I saw Jesus walk across water and calm a storm. I saw Jesus feed thousands of people on just a little bit of food. I learned from Jesus many different stories and the way that God works with us and is a part of us. I learned from Jesus to be able to talk to people who are different than I am, to be able to talk to people who nobody else would talk to or even touch. I saw Jesus go up to lepers and actually touch them and heal them and make them whole once again. I saw Jesus not only heal people, I saw Jesus raise people from the dead. I am a little bit of a shame, though, that when they came to arrest Jesus, I ran. I scattered, as all did the other disciples. They just ran. They ran away. We left Jesus all by himself as he went through the trials. I was so devastated when Jesus was killed, when he was executed on the cross. Like I said, life is amazing. And it was amazing then too. All of us disciples were huddled together that next Sunday. And we all closed up behind closed doors. And Jesus came to us. He had risen from the dead. He was alive. He was well. He had risen from the dead. And a short time after that, then, he ascended into heaven, but he had promised to give the Holy Spirit. And when he gave the Holy Spirit, we scattered again. All these disciples scattered again. But this time I was not ashamed of that, because I realized that's exactly what Jesus wanted us to do. To scatter to the ends of the world and tell the story. And that was a wonderful, it was a great story I had to say. Great story I had to tell. I ended up in India. Being a follower of Jesus was not always easy. There were many times that I didn't have food to eat. I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. There were times when I had to sleep outside in the cold and in the wet. I ran into problems of people who would not listen to me, people who were hostile to me. But as I started doing ministry in India, people started listening to that story. And the Holy Spirit came into them as well then too. And the church was starting to thrive. But it was a change. It was a change for society. And somewhere in there, I got crosswise with the government. They too came to arrest me, condemn me, and I too was executed. I became a martyr for my faith. But I had seen such amazing things in my life when I started to follow Jesus. I knew that he was the Messiah. I knew that he knew me in a very personal way. I was thankful that he had called me to come and do what he wanted me to do. And it all started when my good friend Philip came to me all excited and said, "Come and see." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our next hymn, "You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore."
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen. With gratitude for the gift of Christ, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking his mercy for the church, the world, and all who need his loving kindness. You called Samuel to be your prophet, and your son called Philip and Nathanael to be his disciples. Fill the church with your Holy Spirit so that it hears and heeds Jesus' call to follow him. Give it preachers, professors, and people who are faithful to your word. Through their words and deeds, draw many to trust in him who is the salvation of the whole world. Lord, in your mercy. Purify and perfect all who suffer on account of Christ. Lead them in your everlasting way. By their faithful witness, turn the hearts of their tormentors to repent in faith to you. Lord, in your mercy. Bless this congregation as we seek to do your will. Keep us steadfast in faith. Conform us to Christ our Lord. Use us to bring the gospel to those who need to hear it most. Lord, in your mercy. We remember with gratitude the life, the words, and the work of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Thank you for raising him up as your servant. Help us to honor him and to glorify you by finding good and gracious ways to extend the blessings of liberty, justice, and equality to all people. Lord, in your mercy. You know the inmost thoughts of all. None can flee your presence. Shine the light of your wisdom into the hearts of our earthly leaders. Teach them your ways. Take all wickedness from them and use them to establish your will among all people. Help us to live in peace with our neighbors, striving always to outdo one another in showing honor, kindness, justice, and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for medical researchers and for all who are stretched thin, caring for the sick, administering vaccines, and helping to keep businesses, churches, schools, and communities open and safe. Strengthen, guide, and bless them. Give us prudence and patience, forbearance and kindness in these trying times and always. Lord, in your mercy. Send the power of your Holy Spirit into the hearts of all who suffer. Fill them with health and hope. Bless all who minister to them, and let the radiance of your Son's love gladden their hearts. We pray especially for Ronnie Afflerbach, Deborah Stern, Bishop Emeritus John Berdowski, and for the family of Loretta Gabby. Lord, in your mercy. Most merciful Father, we thank you for the lives of your servants who followed you in this life and now abide in your presence. Grant that we too heed your gracious invitation given through your dear Son. Make us into living temples of your Spirit. Lead us into your presence with Samuel and with all the faithful people of Israel, with Nathanael and with Philip, and all the apostles, martyrs, and saints of your church. Grant that with them we rejoice forever in the salvation you have accomplished for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers and petitions, dear Father, as may be best for us and to your greater glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity.
With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for me a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger, all who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.